So I think that we, even as a critically thinking community, often forget that the theology that we have had handed down to us over generations did not spring fully formed from our scriptures. And that those who contributed to what is now our canon of scripture were doing theology on the hoof, off the cuff, using the stories which had been passed on to them to create a way of seeing the world and of relating to this new way of expressing faith that they'd found in Jesus Christ to their everyday lives and existence. Take today's passage from the letter to the Ephesians, a letter which may or may not have been written by Paul in his first imprisonment, which is the traditional opinion, which is now disputed. It seems that from what I can discover, that scholarly opinion is roughly equally divided on the authorship and dating of this epistle. But I digress. I could go down that rabbit hole a very long way. What is commonly accepted is that this epistle was written in the latter part of the first century, anywhere between the mid-60s and 100 CE. And at that time, there have been no creeds, no councils, and there is no church as we know it, but a scattered and deeply diverse selection of Jesus movements which are growing slowly throughout Asia Minor. But there is little to no core theology or unified thought. So we have these early authors riffing off their own background in the Jewish faith, along with these new stories which are circulating in various forms, mainly orally, and perhaps just beginning to be gathered in what we now know as Gospels. Today's riff links with our celebration of Ascension Day this past Thursday. There's that quote with which the author begins. Therefore it is said, quote, when he ascended on high, he made captivity a captive. He gave gifts to his people, unquote. Which is a misquote of Psalm 68, verse 18, which says, you ascended the high mount, leading captives in your train and receiving gifts from people, even from those who rebel against the Lord God's abiding there. I was intrigued that Psalm 68 was the psalm that the choir were to sing this evening, but only the first 10 verses of it. We don't get to verse 18. And I wondered if putting the lectionary together, the authors decided that they didn't want such an obvious contradiction of what was to later come in the reading. The author of Ephesians takes quite a liberty in both the quotation and the interpretation of this psalm. Firstly, the psalm itself actually talks of ascending a high mount or mountain, and it does not relate to rising up from the place of death, Sheol, nor to ascending into the heavens. Secondly, the gifts are given to the one who ascended the mount. They do not give gifts to the people, as the author to Ephesians says. To give the author or authors the benefit of the doubt, there were very few copies of the written scrolls of scripture around for what we call the Hebrew Bible, and very few of them were accessible generally. Most things were passed on by word of mouth. Also, there is a chance that the writer of this letter could have heard that misquote because of a scribal mistake in the local scrolls to where they lived. Having said that, if the innovative theology that immediately follows that opening verse is based purely on a misremembering or misunderstanding of an earlier text, then it's on pretty shaky ground. And if you are of the type that whose faith seems to rely on all of Scripture fitting together perfectly and being the inerrant word of God, then it's going to take some serious mental gymnastics to work this one out, or a vast amount of cognitive dissonance, which is how most conservative evangelicals deal or not with reading Scripture, which was certainly my experience as a young conservative evangelical years ago. So back to my opener. These theological wranglings are all being done on the fly. They are not perfect. They are dynamic and they are fluid. It is only later generations that have layered them with meanings that the original authors may or may not have intended. And also these wranglings and the wrestlings often end up sharing with us deep and profound truths, whatever the link with the earlier writings of Scripture are. Well, whatever the link with Psalm 68 is or not in this evening's reading, the idea that those within this new and growing body of Christ, which are the early Jesus communities, having gifts to serve one another and the wider community and to build one another up, is certainly consistent with the way that Jesus talked of the work of the Holy Spirit and the early Jesus people. And the idea of a body joined together with Christ as the head is a beautiful and poetic expression of our dependence upon one another and our dependence upon Christ in our shared spirituality and our shared community. It does not need a dodgy misquote from the Hebrew Scriptures. And all of this is to say, our Bibles are imperfect. As much as it upsets our conservative siblings to say that, our Scriptures are not infallible nor inerrant. They are documents which relate the struggle of making sense of a deep encounter with the divine in the person of Jesus Christ. And the legacy of Christ's teaching, life, death, and resurrection. It does little good to spend all of our time trying to make the Bible look like it all makes sense, rather than putting our energy into living the values of Jesus. Values of unity, compassion, love, grace, justice, healing, welcome, inclusion, peace, and spirituality. Values which lift up the oppressed and excluded, speak out against empire and violence, speak for the care of the earth, and draw all people into a beloved community which seeks to transform the world with the love, not with the love of power, but with the power of love. As we break for the summer, and as we celebrate in the coming weeks of this Pride Month, including hopefully our own participation in Victoria's Pride Parade, and probably a Pride Evensong, may we continue living these affirming, life-giving values of Jesus, using our Scriptures to build up rather than to oppress and to knock down. Thanks be to God.